This is County Close Up, news from Halliburton County with Elizabeth Oakley.
James Raffin owes his love of Canada's North to the flip of a coin. Like many others, his parents wanted to leave the UK after the war. So with Navy friends in South Africa and Canada, they flipped a coin. Then the family emigrated from Aberdeen, Scotland, to begin a new life here in Canada. That single decision was the origin of Raffin's love of his adopted country and his deep curiosity for Canada's North. Raffin, who holds two doctorate degrees and has spent a lifetime exploring the land and the people of the North, brings his one-man performance of The Accidental Canadian to the Halliburton Legion on Wednesday, March 11th. The show weaves both narrative and original music together in the story of Raffin's adventures and learnings in Canada's Arctic. It's part love letter, part homage to the country and the people who've shaped his life.
It sort of grows out of two anniversaries that coincided in 2025. One of them would have been my 50th year in the Arctic. And so I've had the great fortune of, you know, making a lot of friends and learning a lot of stuff about Canada there. That's one anniversary. The other one, what I just assume not talk about, is I turned 70 last year, and I thought I better do something to mark these occasions that's going to scare the living daylights out of me. So why not write a one-man musical show that takes people through 50 years of learning in the North? The accidental part of it in our family is that my parents, who were both in Aberdeen, my dad was in the Navy, a surgeon lieutenant in the Navy, and my mom was a midwife at Aberdeen Infirmary, and they knew they wanted to leave the UK after the war. And my dad had Navy buddies in Australia, South Africa, and Canada. For some reason, they ruled out Australia. And so the family story is they flipped a coin to decide whether my three sisters and I would have been South African or Canadian. It turned out it was what it was. And they got on the Empress of Scotland. My older sister, Elspeth, was born at that time, and I was about to be born. And so, but for the flip of a coin, I might have been South African. So this is a show that kind of honors the fact that looking back, I see I'm inspired by the leap that my parents made. And more I see the courage involved in leaving family. And there are all kinds of other emotions associated with that, not least guilt. And I think my dad on his deathbed said that the reason he wanted to move was to get away from his mother, who was a very stern magistrate and had big expectations about her children and her grandchildren. And then also, I sort of have spent most of my adult life figuring out what is this country about. And I've had the great fortune of spending a lot of time in the North. And it's got some funny bits that I hope. It's got some touching and heart engaging bits, but it's a continuous narrative. It's got two acts and five scenes in the first half and four in the second half, and each of them involves a musical number of some kind.
Originally written for a fundraising event in his home community of Seelies Bay, The Accidental Canadian has morphed into a presentation that's booked in a number of venues across the country, including several in Ontario, Nova Scotia, in Langley and Victoria, British Columbia, and in Calgary, Alberta. It's a multimedia presentation that brings 50 years of exploring the Canadian Arctic to life through storytelling, music, and imagery. Raffin says his love of the North comes from his curiosity and attempting to learn while being intentionally uncomfortable.
It's an edge. I love edges. I don't think you learn anything while you're sitting in the kind of big comfy couch of the middle of what you know. I think you only start learning when you get out on the edge. One of the stories, the arcs in this musical, is the fact that I started life as a marine biologist studying polar bear vision. Had quite a dramatic turn away from that, promising myself that if I ever did anything with polar bears again in my life, I would do it with the people who took me to the bears in the first instance. So what does the North hold? It holds beautiful, generous people. It has places that look the same as they have since time immemorial, and there's adventure. But there's also kind of an essence of a country that's so big and so wonderful that fills my soul in intangible ways, and without getting too misty-eyed about it or trying to evoke anything sort of ethereal or spiritual, I will say that as I've moved away from science and the positivism and the kind of notion of what counts as learning, I've realized that a lot of the truths that we need as people to move forward are not always enumerated in facts and in easily packageable or transferable bundles. They have to do with sensibilities. I mean, I could go on, but I've just come down from Kugluktuk on the Coronation Gulf, where I've been doing a project for the last number of years with a short film, but doing music workshops with kids in the North. You know, what do I learn from that? I learn about perseverance. I learn about resilience. I learn about love. I learn about community. It's always surprising. It's often heartbreaking. It's place, it's people, it's unexpected. And as it turns out, as I learned in 2011 to 2014, when I went around the world at the Arctic Circle to put a human face on climate change, I've learned that it's like a passport, an entry to a sense of the globe. Because I had spent 35 years in the north of Canada, I decided to meet the neighbors. And it turns out when you identify yourself as a Canadian who's coming out of the north, people in Somfy and Scandinavia and right across Russia and in Alaska and in Greenland and Iceland, they want to talk to you because they share a lot of the learnings that I have made. Always as a southerner entering the north, but I would never claim to be a northerner, but I would claim to be somebody for whom the north is an integral part of who I am and what I believe to be important.
Much of Raffin's work in the north has often brought him face to face with the work of truth and reconciliation with many different Indigenous peoples. He says while it's often difficult and emotional, it's critically important for Canadians and the future of the nation. His work has often exposed people to places they might not ever see, but also the voices of those whose experiences otherwise might not have been heard. Raffin feels compelled to share those voices with others. At this year's 20th annual Storyfest in Seelies Bay, Raffin will be joined by an Indigenous artist. Together, they will bring the theme of reconciliation from two perspectives to the stage for audience members to consider.
As a writer, I've spent most of my time amplifying voices and taking people places that they would probably never go. And I've done that proudly, which has presented an interesting problem. And this is another theme that's in The Accidental Canadian. The voices I've amplified are Northerners, and many of them are Indigenous people. But so many wonderful storytellers and writers are emerging now. And so over the last five more years, I've really made a concerted effort to use what I know how to do, not to amplify the voices, but to assist with bringing Indigenous voices to the public forum. Storyfest 20, which is happening in Seelies Bay on the 12th of April, is called The Road to Reconciliation. And I'm going to talk about some of these projects, but I could not in good conscience do that without sharing the stage with an Indigenous person. So my friend Chuck Commanda, who's a bark canoe builder, will be there and we'll do part of the presentation together. He's using bark canoe building as a sort of a vehicle for reconciliation in a very unpretentious way. I mean, he's making a living doing that. People are interested in learning the terminology and sort of understanding that this is Canada's first commercial vessel. And also he's in the business of teaching people that Canada is a nation of rivers, which we all learned in geography, but he's also presenting the notion that Canada's a river of nations. You know, it's got a lot of, and bringing that to the fore. So yeah, that's something that is shifting, which makes the sort of third act of my life and career really interesting, where I really feel that I'm free now to innovate and not to rest on anything. Like if there are laurels to rest on, I'm not sure I want to do that. I'd rather just kind of keep reinventing and crashing as needed to teach me the lessons that I haven't learned yet.
Raffin is a cultural geographer and writer who has produced more than 20 books, including bestsellers Fire in the Bones, Circling the Midnight Sun, Deep Waters, Bark, Skin and Cedar, Emperor of the North, and Ice Walker. He's produced a number of documentaries and written for film, radio, newspapers, and television, including National Geographic, Canadian Geographic, The Globe and Mail, CBC, The Discovery Channel, and The Walrus. His work has been recognized with awards like the Queen's Golden and Diamond Jubilee Medals and Canada's Meritorious Service Medal for helping create the Canadian Canoe Museum in Peterborough. Next up for Raffin, he'll be venturing to China to help design parks there for canoeing. But now, as a husband of more than 40 years, a father and grandfather of four, it's the feeling of coming home that sustains him. He's hoping his production of The Accidental Canadian resonates and inspires his audiences across the country.
Yesterday, I got an invitation to go to China. They want to make canoe parks in China. And I thought, well, what the hell? But one of the best things about going away is coming back home. We've encouraged our kids to do that because A, it's good for you because, I mean, I was never homesick till we had children, but then it was awful. But getting away allows you to bring stories back to the house. I would hope they'd be entertained. I would hope it would allow them to see their lives through the Accidental Canadian as a lens or a frame, that they would get a chance to look at their own life, their own choices. I hope they'd be inspired at some level. I hope they would scoff at some of the stuff they hear. And if they do that out loud, that always makes it an interesting show. Some of my best friends are good hecklers. But I'm not purporting that this has got any sort of great nostrums, great truths in it. But I do want to say that in honoring 50 years of learning, I'm turning around some of the most profound things that have happened in the hope that they might be of use to somebody else. This is not a class, though. It's meant to have an arc and a flow, and it's meant to be a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll bring some voices, some places, some ideas that maybe the audiences won't have thought about either at all, or maybe in that order or with those adjacencies or juxtapositions.
Tickets are still available for The Accidental Canadian, which takes place Wednesday, March 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. To purchase tickets, visit myhalliburtonhighlands.com.
County Close-Up is made possible through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. You can find more stories from Halliburton County on canoefm.com and frequencynews.ca. This is Elizabeth Oakley for County Close-Up.